Welcome to the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and I am so glad that you're with us today for another Tuesday episode with another extraordinary mom. If you're joining us for the first time, I welcome you to our wonderful community. It's really grown over the past week, and I know that we have a lot of new listeners tuning in, so welcome. The Extraordinary Moms Podcast is designed to inspire other people by hearing interviews and conversations with extraordinary moms who may or may not be doing really grand things in their life, but they've been dealt some trials, or they might have an interesting perspective. But the overarching theme through all these conversations is talking with great moms who are doing amazing things in the lives of their children and their family. So I just welcome you and hope that you'll be inspired by these conversations that we have. Today we have an awesome guest. Her name's Emily Ames, and we met when we were newly married. She was a school teacher for several years and now has 4 children. And today she's going to talk with us specifically about her 4th child, Henry, who underwent a life-saving open heart surgery. And his story of his birth and then his traumatic surgery at 2.5 days old. He's now thriving and doing very, very well. But that whole process of learning about this heart defect that he had and then shifting your mindset from holding what you think is a healthy little baby to taking all the pictures you can because you're not sure what's going to come of this surgery, and then the aftermath of the recovery and hitting those developmental milestones afterwards. I mean, it is just a true trial of faith, a trial of love for your child, and just the perspective she brings is just so wonderful. So I hope you really enjoy my conversation with Emily Ames today, and thanks again for tuning in. If you haven't already done so, you can visit us on our website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. There you can hear all of the interviews, as well as read some additional content like our Friday favorites posts. And then also you can hear us on iTunes or Stitcher, and please subscribe or leave a rating or review if you like what you're hearing. So let's get to the interview with Emily Ames. Okay, I would like to welcome to the show my dear friend Emily Ames. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
How's it going? Where am I talking to you from today?
I am in Los Angeles, California.
And how long are you from there? How long have you lived there?
I am not from here. We're transplants, actually. We came here for my husband's job about 8 years ago.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, we've accidentally put down roots without meaning to. But
like,
it's
my bad.
I know, right? Yeah. It's become home without our knowing it, and we actually really love it now.
That's terrific. That's super awesome. Yeah. Emily and I met when we were newlyweds back in the college days, and we were both school teachers. We both taught elementary school, so that kind of bonded us together. And little known fact, when I was trying to get pregnant, I was like having a really difficult time, and it wasn't happening for me. And I started finding myself like becoming like resentful of everybody else that was just like, poof, I'm pregnant. But it probably wasn't that way for them. But it seemed that way to me because it's like, poof, you're pregnant. Everyone's announcing. And I was getting super jealous. And so I was thinking about how can I not be jealous of these people that I shouldn't be jealous of? I should be happy for them. And so I decided to start throwing baby showers. And you were the first baby shower that I
threw. Was I your first?
And I mean, not to say like I was like super jealous of you, but like that was just my way of like coping with like, you know what? Let's celebrate these moms and be happy for them because they're entitled to that, and my day will come, and it has. But that kind of helped me through that time, and that was when you were pregnant with Charlie.
That is amazing because it actually took us a year to get pregnant with Charlie.
See, and you don't know what people are going through, and you just assume it's so easy for everybody else, and you're the only one that's struggling, and it's just so not true.
Oh, I know. Isn't it crazy how we don't see each other's struggles?
Nope.
We're all hiding it. Sometimes I wish we could just wear our struggles on our shirts.
And then you can say, right? Oh, you got that one too? Me too.
Let's
talk about it. Let's commiserate with each other. Let's cry.
Let's
what are you doing?
Because I think it's so important to normalize those things, 100%. You know, to recognize that we're all going through such similar experiences.
100%. I totally agree. Yeah, the more we can realize we're not alone, the better we can feel, even if the trial doesn't go away right away. So
I think that's huge.
So you are a mom of four darling children. And tell me the ages of your kids again.
I am. I have four kids. The oldest is seven. And
that's
then,
Charlie.
Yes, Charlie. My oldest boy is seven. Then I have a daughter, Lucy, who is five. And another daughter, Eve, who is three. And then our little baby, Henry, just turned one on Wednesday.
Oh, that's just thrilling.
That's so exciting.
And we'll post pictures of your family on the website in the show notes so that everyone can see these darling children that we're talking about.
Oh, fun.
I just love how you dressed your girls in the knee socks and the old-fashioned style dress. I mean, your guys are just so cute.
Oh, it's my favorite. Picture-perfect family. They're starting to get opinions about that, which I don't quite feel. But
you got a few good years out of them, and then it's like, okay, Mom, my turn to be in charge.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk today mostly about your fourth child, Henry. So will you tell me a little bit about his pregnancy and then delivery and then what you found out shortly after he was born? Go ahead and just start telling that story.
Yeah. So, Henry is our fourth. Like I said, he just turned one 2 days ago. His pregnancy was totally normal. It was one of those things we'd been hoping. We already had a boy and two girls, and we just were so hopeful to have another boy at some point that, you know, Charlie could have a brother, and we just adored having a baby boy, and we're hopeful that we might be able to experience that again. So we were thrilled when we found out that Henry was a boy, and I felt an instant bond with him. The pregnancy was rough, to be honest. With the hormone changes, I found myself really depressed about 20 weeks. I went into just a deep depression, and for about 10 weeks, I struggled with that, and then, you know, hormones shifted again, and I was fine, and I felt better. And then I got really sick.
Oh, no.
A flu and cold.
Oh, no.
And, of course, when you're pregnant, you can't really take anything.
Yes.
And so I just kind of, you know, waited that one out for the last 10 weeks. So, like, the second half of his pregnancy was really ugly, and we were just so... I was so thrilled that he was going to be born and, you know, obviously to meet him and that I wouldn't be pregnant anymore.
Right.
It was definitely my worst pregnancy. But as, you know, that was all related to my health. Henry's health, as far as we knew, was perfect. He was developing well. He was a good size. He was active. Everything checked out, and we were just planning on welcoming a perfectly healthy baby into our family.
Wow.
I was scheduled to be induced. My doctor that I go to is about 30 minutes north of where we are, where we used to live.
Uh-huh.
And so because of that drive and LA traffic, they just say, we don't want you to, you know, deliver in rush hour
right.
on the way to the hospital.
Right.
So we, you know, to avoid me going into labor on my own and not making it, they just schedule me to be induced. Which has always worked. It's always been great. So we got to the hospital, and everything was going great with the induction. He was born that afternoon, around 4:45 in the afternoon. And he was so calm, and he was beautiful, and he looked just like our other kids. And it was just a really neat experience. With our other children, we didn't know what we were going to name them. We went to the hospital with lists of names, but with Henry... I felt pretty early on that his name was Henry, and, you know, as I was going through this last 20 weeks of pregnancy, I would, you know, I had his ultrasound profile on the fridge, and I would just look at it, and I would say, we're making it, baby Henry, we're doing this, we're going to get there, and I would, so it helped me get through those days that I could talk to the baby, and you know, we're doing this, Hank, we're doing this, and so I really bonded with him when I was pregnant with him. Which is an incredible tender mercy or miracle that I find looking back now because of the events that followed his birth. So he was born, and we knew him right away as Henry, and we were able to bond with him and spend that first evening with him. And it was wonderful, and he, you know, nursed all night long, and we just cuddled, and it was just a really, really special time with this little boy that we had waited so long for.
Yeah.
And the next morning, our pediatrician came in to do his well check, and he noticed as he was listening to his heart that he had a heart murmur. And he said, you know, it's really common for newborns to have heart murmurs. Don't worry. But I do want to order a few tests to be done.
Were you concerned at that point?
You know, I wasn't because Eve, our third, had a heart murmur when she was born.
Yeah.
That they actually, it's funny, this specific pediatrician that was with us with Henry, he's the doctor that all of my children have grown up going to.
Okay.
But he works at a practice with six other doctors. With all of my other children, he was never the one doing rounds at the hospital when they were born. And so it was always another doctor, which was fine. They were healthy babies,
yeah,
and it was great. But it turned out with Eve, our third, she did have a heart murmur when she was born. That was an innocent one. But the doctor who did her well check at birth didn't notice it.
Okay.
It was this Dr. Tolcher, who my kids have seen. He noticed it at her 1 week checkup. He said, oh, she has a heart murmur. It's totally normal, healthy, and her heart murmur went away.
Yeah, like a lot of them do.
Like a lot of them do, yeah.
Right.
And so when Dr. Tolcher found Henry's heart murmur, I just thought, oh, you know, Eve
right,
had one
right,
that you
exactly
found. And,
okay.
And you told me it was innocent, and it was. And so I had no reason to think anything different. And, yeah, I don't know, you'd think I would have been worried that they were ordering tests, but I just,
yeah,
you know, I just didn't really think anything of it. I thought, well, you know, just to be safe, I appreciate that, and he's just being thorough, and I, you know, completely trust this doctor, and so, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And so they ordered what's called an echocardiogram, which is essentially a sonogram of the baby's heart, and then they also did pulse oxes, using, it's where they just test the oxygen saturation in their, like, their fingertips and toes, just their
Is that where their little fingers glow, or their toes?
Yes.
Okay, it glows red? Okay, got it.
So they do that at well checks anyways to check oxygen. They'll put that little, like, button on your baby's finger.
Yeah.
Anyways, so they did it on all four of his, you know, his limbs. And he passed it. He passed his pulse ox test. He had 100% saturation. And then the ultrasound tech came in and did the echocardiogram, and he wasn't able to say anything. Brian, my husband, and I were just sitting there, like, on our phones, texting family and updating them that, oh, the baby was born, and just giving them, like, this stat. We didn't mention that his heart's being checked right now because we didn't think anything of it.
Right.
And so, you know, the tech left, and we just enjoyed Henry, and we were cuddling more, and I was nursing him more. And this was, you know, the day following his birth. My mom was in town, and she taking care of the other kids, and she was planning to bring them up to the hospital that day.
Okay.
And so about 11 o'clock, Brian left to go get lunch. We were going to do a little picnic in the room with the kids so they can meet the baby and we could have lunch together. And my mom was about 5 minutes away from the hospital. Brian had gone to get lunch, so it was just me and Henry. And all of a sudden, a team of nurses burst into the room, and they said, your pediatrician's on the phone. Let me get the phone for you. We need the baby right now. And,
oh, I have chills.
It all happened so quickly.
Oh my gosh.
And I had been sitting there, just, you know, counting his fingers and toes and looking at him and taking pictures of him. And all of a sudden he was taken from my arms, and they said, we need to get him to the NICU right away. And they put him in his bassinet and they ran out the door. And they handed me the phone, and the pediatrician, you know, said, Emily, the test came back and Henry has, a condition called hypoplastic aortic arch, which meant that your aorta is obviously the main artery in your heart, and it comes out of, well, back up a second, your heart's in a sac. Mm-hmm. It's called the peridial sac, and then the aortic arch comes up out of that sac, and that's where all of the oxygenated blood is delivered to the rest of your body. And his arch, from what they could tell at the time, it was hypoplastic, which means it hadn't fully developed, so it had a pinch in it that was limiting the blood flow to the rest of his body. And so he said, you know, we I'm going to have him taken to the NICU. And I was like, they already did.
Yeah.
And,
you know, I was just trying to
keep myself together on the phone. And I just asked the doctor, I said, so what does he need to take? Like, what do we need to do?
Right.
It's like, what medicine does he need? Like, right. I was just thinking, let's give him some medicine and he'll be fine and his arts will develop and it'll be great.
Right.
And he said, well, we'll talk about treatment. I'm on my way over.
Oh my gosh.
And so.
You never want a face to face with the doctor.
No. So I hang up the phone and, one nurse had stayed behind and I just fell apart and I just started ugly sobbing, just crying and sobbing because my baby's gone and my baby was here 2 minutes ago and he was healthy and now he's not.
Right.
And what does this even mean? And is this a heart disease and is he going to die? So I called Brian. She said, you know, let's call your husband. I said, okay, call my husband. So I called Brian and I just said, you need to get back here right now. Something's wrong with Henry. They just took him to the NICU. Something's wrong with his heart. He's like, I'm in the parking lot. I will be right up. So he comes in and I'm like trying to explain to him what Dr. Tolcher had told me on the phone. But
this is all completely new to you. So you don't have
any additional
information besides this really long terminology.
I don't even know what's wrong. Yeah. I didn't know anything about the heart.
Right.
I'm like, something's wrong. I don't know. Something's wrong with his heart. And I couldn't remember the name of it.
Right.
And I just said, they're coming over. He's in the NICU. And then my mom calls and she's like, we're here. We're so excited to see the baby. And Brian and I just held each other crying. At that point, he was the strong one. And so I'm sobbing and he just held me for a couple minutes. And he said, okay, I need to, you know, we need to, let the kids up here. Why don't you, take as long as you need. I'll keep them outside and then just text me and we'll come up. And so, you know, I was, you know, still in my hospital gown. I just had him. Like,
and they've never even met him. The kids have never met him.
Never met him. No,
Emily.
So, you know, I went into the bathroom to change and to try and pull myself together. At this point, you know, aside from the obvious heartbreak with something is wrong with Henry and we don't know what, and I didn't know what the implications were. This was the first pregnancy where all the kids had been, like, just dying to meet the baby. And Charlie was going to have a baby brother, and the girls, like, they've been trying to think of names for him for months. I mean, these kids could not wait to meet their brother.
Right.
And they're downstairs in the parking lot waiting to meet him, and we were just like, what are we going to say? Because he's not here. So they came up. My Brian briefed my mom in the parking lot really quickly as they're coming up. And, you know, they came in and the kids have balloons and pictures they've drawn and things for the baby.
Gosh.
And they just, where's the baby? You know? And so we just had to throw something out there really quick. We're like, you know what? The baby is at the doctor and the doctors are just checking him right now. And he just had to leave. I'm so sorry. You won't get to see him right now, but you'll see him soon. And then we distracted them with lunch and Wendy's Frosties. You know, even now, this sounds so silly, but I see those pictures that moms post on Facebook and Instagram of, like, when their kids come to meet the baby and they're all crowded around on the hospital bed.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
we're a family of five,
right,
or we're a family of six now. We don't have that picture.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
with Henry. And I still, when I see those, it does hurt because we were going to, we wanted to have that, you know.
Right.
This is probably 10 minutes after the kids left, I want to say. And he was in his little isolette, and he was just covered in, he looked covered in wires to us. He had leads on his heart that were monitoring his heart. He had oxygen. He had a feeding tube in his nose.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he was, it was just shocking because I had just been holding him and cuddling with him like 45 minutes before, and he was fine.
No way.
And now my baby is critically ill in the NICU. Brian hadn't seen him since before he left to go get lunch, and so this is, I mean, we just fell apart, and we were able to hold his hands. You know, we stayed with him, and then we probably for about a half an hour, and then we decided to go back, and, you know, we were going to be meeting with the pediatrician. And so we went back to the room, and the pediatrician and my OB got there. You know, he's like I told you on the phone, he has hypoplastic aortic arch, which means, you know, the arch didn't fully form, and just kind of repeating what he told me before. And so then I asked him again, okay, so like, what does he need to take? You know, what treatment is this? And he said, actually, the only treatment is open heart surgery immediately. And I just crumbled and I just fell like, you know, I just slumped over and I just started sobbing. And everything's kind of a blur after that because, you know, open heart surgery, he wasn't even like, you know, a day old at all.
Right.
And I'm thinking his body is so little.
How like, can he handle that?
Yeah. How can he do that? Like, that's not even possible. And the doctor just told me that, we're waiting for an ambulance team from Children's Hospital LA to get here. And as soon as they're here, they'll transfer him there by ambulance. And you guys will follow. So Brian and I, you know, packed our things and got ready and, you know, went down to the NICU to be with Henry until the transfer team got there. When we got down to the NICU, they had just gotten there and had started the process of loading him up. They put him in his, you know, we got to kiss him goodbye. We were told, you know, we had to sign papers acknowledging the risk of the transfer. One of them being that he could die in transfer. And that was, I mean, little did we know that that was one of the many times he would sign a form like that. So we followed behind and, you know, called family members to update them on the drive over there. And, you know, love that LA traffic. It took us like an hour and a half to get to the hospital. And that was just a nightmare.
Must have been the longest hour and a half of your life. Like, hoping. Absolutely. I signed on that line.
Is he okay?
Is he okay on the other side? Yeah.
And we have no way of knowing. And so we're just waiting to hear from them. And we finally got there and we went upstairs to what was going to become our home. It was the CTICU, which stands for Cardiothoracic Intensive Care Unit. And the CTICU, it's an entire NICU floor devoted to heart and, heart and lung procedure surgeries. So, you know, these doctors were just absolutely incredible. We went up to the CTICU and we were shown where Henry's room was. He had his own private room. And that whole night, I mean, we just didn't even know what was going on. You know,
I just remember
looking at him. They asked if I wanted to hold him. And I was just like, yes!
Give me my baby!
Are you kidding? I didn't know it was an option.
Yeah.
And so I just held him. And as I sat there and I started taking pictures because I thought, you know, what if he doesn't make it? And these are the only pictures I ever have of him. I started just taking pictures of him from every angle. After we'd been there probably an hour or so, the surgeon came in. This man was incredible. He was so kind. He sat down and he just, you know, crossed his leg and kind of looked like sat towards us in just a really welcoming manner. And he said, "How are you guys?" And he just was—he was so comforting. After he asked us how we were doing, he said, he looked at me and he said, "I want you to know that this is not your fault. Nothing that you have done has caused this."
So, how quickly did they need to get him into surgery? Was this like a time's ticking? Let's whisk him into surgery.
So, what they did to keep him alive until they said they needed to let his body recover from the stress of being born before they could put the stress of surgery on him. So, the plan was to wait one more day and then try and get him in first thing in the morning. The last thing that the surgeon, that she said to me before she left, and they hadn't wheeled Henry out yet, but she just said, you know, this is a time that whatever your faith is, it's time to rely on that faith. We were able to walk with him, you know, follow the isolate down, you know, down that classic hall, that cold, sterile hallway in the hospital.
Yeah.
And then they told us, you know, this is as far as we can let you go. And so we had to kiss him goodbye and tell him we loved him. And we were so proud of him. And that was one of the hardest moments because we were honestly just handing our baby over to these specialists and these surgeons. You know, and all we could do was hope. We could hope and we could pray and we were handing him over with the hope that that it would go well. And we didn't know though. We didn't know.
Right.
The anesthesiologist said, the last thing he said was, "Don't worry, Mom, we will take care of him as if he was our own."
Oh,
and
that's the best thing
you
could hear.
Yeah. The best thing I could be told. And I said, "Promise me you will, please do." And,
yeah.
And he took his little hand, Henry's little hand, and he waved. He was like, bye, Mom. Bye, Dad. And we were
I'll be right back.
We were just, you know, sobbing. And man, that was a long 4 hours. About the time that they told us to, you know, that they'd be coming back, we hurried back up to his room, and they had, you know, were just bringing him back, and I just ran to the room and said, he's back, he made it, he's back. And, you know, they had us wait outside the room while they got him settled and got everything set up. They had told us to expect more cords and wires and baby, and they were right. He had, he had IVs and literally wires going into his, like, pacer wires that were coming out of his body. Drainage tubes, catheters, brain monitors, kidney monitors. I mean, we took a picture of his right foot because that was the one thing on his body that didn't have tubes or wires coming out. You know, perfect looked so different for everyone.
Yeah. And it's still him. Regardless of what he looked like in that moment, it's still the same baby you were holding who you thought was perfect 2 days ago.
Yes. Yes, he was even more perfect
now. He's still that same Henry. Yeah.
Yeah, and now he's just a healthy Henry. Yeah. And now he has a perfect heart.
So tell me about the rest of his stay in the hospital. He just came out of surgery. You are feeling, I'm sure, just entirely relieved. Tell me about those next few days and weeks.
Oh, yes. There was nothing like seeing him out of surgery. We had a lot of ups and downs. You know, there was smooth sailing. There were some bumps in the road. But overall, he kept moving forward and kept progressing. We were able to come home after 3 weeks in the hospital.
Is that typical of this type of procedure?
You know, they told us that there wasn't really any kind of typical. The best case scenario would be like a week and a half after surgery.
Okay.
So he was there about twice as long due to some complications that he ran into. The complications weren't so much the issue as we had to slow down his recovery. Like, we had to slow down introduction to food.
Okay.
So it was more like relearning the art of feeding for him that took a couple weeks, and helping his body handle the feeds, handle, you know, the process of eating and digesting and having his body be able to do that in a healthy way.
Well, I mean, anybody that's had surgery knows that after you have a surgery, there is time of relearning everything. But here's a brand new baby who doesn't even hardly know how to do these things in the first place. So then he's just like set back to that very beginning stage all over again. In addition, he's recovering. I mean, I can't imagine all of that being put on this little tiny body.
It was really an eye-opening experience that way, because you really are learning to rely on those reflexes, and you're helping, I mean, even down to like a suck and swallow reflex.
Now, being on the other side of it, you've seen how far he's progressed, but in that moment, you're just like, is he going to take a bottle? Is he going need a G-tube? You don't know what's around the next corner, and so that has to be so hard going forward. I mean, there's tons of moms sitting in NICUs right now with their babies listening to this podcast and other ones, and, you know, they're not sure what's around that next corner. So picture yourself being back in that situation. Like, what would you tell a mom that's sitting there not sure about what tomorrow's going to bring?
Oh,
I mean, that's a hard question. I don't know. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. You know what? It's a great question. I would hug them.
Oh, yeah.
And I would tell them, it is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is, you know, hug your baby, kiss your baby, hold your baby's hand. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but you know what you have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you have this beautiful baby who is yours. You get to be their mommy. I personally don't believe that's by chance. I believe that each child is sent to the family and the mother that will do what's best for them, you know, that will give them what they need as an individual.
And that's that gives you such a boost. Like, I may not think I can do this, but some higher power did think I could do this and knew this was going to take place. And I'm capable of more than I thought I was capable of in caring for this this life.
Yes, mm-hmm. and this baby was sent to me and no one else.
Yeah.
And so this, you know, I would say to own your motherhood.
I love that.
And trust yourself. I think it's so hard when you find yourself in a situation different than you anticipated, when all of a sudden you are not a mainstream mom anymore.
Yes.
Your baby did not come home after 2 days in the hospital, and you're not learning to nurse your baby, and you're not doing all of your postpartum recovery at home, in your home.
No.
You're doing all these things at a hospital.
None of this was in what to expect when you're expecting. Like, this is totally uncharted territory. Absolutely.
Yes, and there's no book that's mm-hmm. going to tell you how to do it and what it's going to look like.
Right.
But you, that doesn't mean that you aren't going to do it successfully.
I love that. That is a great point. Because you feel inadequate at the time, I'm sure. But just trust that you're going to learn and you're going to get there.
Yes, and I think it's a big process for moms who find themselves in a situation, there is going to be a mourning period. You are going to mourn the loss of that normalcy that you anticipated. I think, you know, as women, as mothers, you just kind of, you imagine what it's going to be like and you envision it. And, you know, we nest. It's part of the pregnancy. Like, you're nesting and you're preparing and you're envisioning, like, okay, the baby's going to be here and we're going to do this and it's going to look like this. And when that doesn't happen, there is a mourning period, and that's very normal. And you need to let yourself feel that.
Mm.
And you need to let yourself go through those feelings and go there and let yourself go there.
Because until you go there, you can't get past there.
No.
It's going to stay there no matter what. Even if you bury it deep, it's mm-hmm. going to come out sometime. And so the sooner you kind of confront it, is that right?
Yeah, I would say, like, you know, the facts are the facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my baby was born with a congenital heart disease. And nothing that I, no amount of wanting or wishing that it could be different would change that.
Right.
So it was time for me, you know, in that moment, and it would be, I would tell moms that same situation, instead of feeling that sorrow, which is important to feel, you need to acknowledge those feelings. But once you're able to feel those things, you'll come to a place where you can find joy and rejoicing in the now.
Mm.
That, yes, I don't have right now what I anticipated, but remove all of those expectations and dreams even, and I have this baby, and that is the root of my dreams. That is the entire purpose of motherhood, is having this child to love and care for. So you might not know what's going to happen tomorrow. You might not know, you know, what the next hour brings. You know, I didn't know, you know, in those minutes after surgery, those hours, you know, those days after surgery, before Henry was even allowed to try to digest food,
mm-hmm.
we didn't know how it was going to go. All I could do was love him in that moment. I learned to not let myself think too far in advance, because things change so rapidly with babies with health problems. You know, he was smooth sailing, then we hit a bump.
Right.
And the first bump we hit, it was devastating to me. And I just remember thinking, this isn't fair. Like, he's overcome so much already. He's been through open heart surgery. He was 2 days old. You know, can he get a break?
Right.
You know, and I had a pity party, like, can I get a break?
Mm-hmm.
And that's normal. You know, you think, like, oh, we did it. We've conquered. And you did. He conquered heart surgery, and so did I as his mom in my role, you know, in that situation. But that the journey doesn't stop there.
Right.
You know, the journey, by nature of being a journey of health and recovery, you're moving forward, and you don't know what's going to come. So because of that, I would tell that mom, love now and love your baby now and just enjoy the now. Not because it's going to be taken away from you tomorrow, but because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. So don't lose this moment right now in the worry of what's to come. I feel like that's something that I really learned with Henry is worrying won't do anything except rob me of the now.
I love that. Well, and you don't have to go through something traumatic like you did in order to feel that way toward your normal, typical, healthy children. How has this affected your motherhood of all your children? I mean, one of the most touching things is seeing on Instagram, I mean, the pictures you post of just the simple moments of life and the things, the touching things that you write about the miracle of being a mom, the miracle of this baby that you didn't know if he was going to get to stay in your family. I mean, tell me about how this has just changed your whole world.
I mentioned earlier that I felt like my lens on motherhood had been changed or adjusted. And I think this is, it really was in those moments where I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I didn't know what tomorrow would bring. The nature of Henry's surgery, you don't know if there's brain damage. Because his, essentially his heart was stopped for, you know, an hour and a half. And so we're even now dealing with that, you know.
Really?
Will he learn to talk or was that lost?
Really?
Will he learn to walk? You know, or, you know, all those different things that we don't know, that we're still discovering. But it was in those moments in the hospital that I think I was prepared for those moments now.
Okay.
That, you know, Emily a year ago would have been terrified that her one-year-old can't even, like, is just starting to babble. You know, isn't even close to the verbal development of a one-year-old, you know, next to him. Or I would have been terrified that, you know, my 11-month-old isn't even crawling yet. You know, what's going on?
Yeah.
But because of what we went through in the hospital with Henry, I feel like I learned to just enjoy the now.
Yeah.
You know, just enjoy right now, and tomorrow is going to come, and I will enjoy it when it comes, and I don't know what it will look like. So all I can do is love now and mother now the best I can. And that has definitely trickled, you know, I would say trickled or gushed into all of the mothering of all of my children.
Yeah, like the Hoover Dam exploding.
Yes.
Do you think your other children have noticed a change in you?
They better have. I went through a lot to get where I am.
Right. You know, what do you think they've noticed is different about you?
I think I have. I have learned to let a lot of things go.
Okay.
You know, where before it was just, we can't go yet because Eve's hair isn't done and, you know, Eve, you can't wear that right now. That looks silly. Or Lucy, don't jump on the couch. Or, you know, Charlie, come over here. We got to do this. I realized that doesn't matter.
It like, doesn't. It
doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
I know that, and I feel bad because I don't want to insult others who those things are really important to them.
Right.
And everyone has different priorities for sure. I would just say that my priorities as a mother have changed dramatically. That now, instead of worrying so much about my kids' appearance or their behavior, I mean, obviously we still are hygienic and I expect them to act like human beings. Now it's, I'm able to look past those things and not even really think about them anymore and just enjoy them for who they are in that moment. Because I saw, you know, that day that Henry was diagnosed, I had this perfect, healthy baby, and all of a sudden he wasn't. You know, one minute he was fine, the next minute he was gone. Like, he wasn't even in my room anymore. He was being hooked up to monitors and getting IVs, and he was being put on, you know, what for Henry was life support.
Right.
You know, he was like, so, I think I just learned that you can't trust the future to be exactly what you would picture it to be.
Right.
And so, as a mom, now I'm just trying to savor every moment as if it was the last.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a depressing, morbid
right,
way.
Right, right.
But just in the...
perspective. Like, just putting things in perspective.
Yeah, my lens was shifted in the way that I really... I feel like it's a gift that I was given through that, that I try to share with moms as much I can. Just the gift of motherhood in the present,
mm-hmm.
you know, that that kids are messy, and motherhood is messy.
Right.
But it's beautiful in that mess, because that mess is not, it's going to look different tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it'll look different because it's messier.
No, absolutely.
Maybe, you know, maybe yeah. it'll look different because, you know, someone gets sick all of a sudden. I think because of that, of having to learn to celebrate now, even if now is in this DTICU, you know, on a ventilator.
Right.
Hey, at least he's here to right. be on a ventilator.
Yep.
And,
or if you're sitting in traffic,
at least
we're together.
My kids are here with me in yep. traffic. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. You know, like, shoot, we're running late to school. That's okay because we're here and we're together and we're going to get there. I feel like my whole understanding of motherhood has been affected in a kind of a slowing. I feel like I just have slowed down in my worries.
Yeah.
And my eyes have been open to the miracles around me now.
I love that. You know, it's still fine to want your girls to wear cute matching dresses. That's still fine. And, oh, we're going to brush our hair today because that's what we do. Like, that's fine. But if it's a battle, it's like, is that a battle worth fighting?
Yes.
And you get to choose.
And I think a lot of it is the expectation we place on ourselves as mothers.
Uh-huh.
I've learned to really adjust the expectations I have on myself.
Yes.
So,
well, any other job, their work product is judged by other people, and our children are our work product. So it is so yeah. hard when other people, whether or not they actually are doing this, we think that we're always being evaluated by the onlooking mother who's giving us the side eye in the grocery store. Or at church or wherever when they're like, ooh, those shoes don't match. Or, oh, how are they handling that tantrum? Like, we think we're always being judged because that's our work product. And we can get down a slippery slope of caring way too much about what other people think and putting too much value on what our children do as a reflection of us.
Yes. It is so easy.
Yeah.
And I think... like you said, our children are the product of our work.
Mm-hmm. But they're still independent beings who will do whatever they want to do.
And there is so much that goes into a child,
yes,
right?
I mean,
like, there's their personality. There's only so much we can control.
Yep.
I feel like mothering is such a verb.
Yes.
That's something that I've come to learn through this journey with Henry. You know, people are going to look at my kids... and yes, they're going to judge me as a mom.
Mm-hmm.
I live in LA, especially, where kids are frowned upon, where, you know, more than smiled upon.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get looks. We have four kids. In LA,
right, you're a circus.
Like,
yeah.
If you're going to have a lot of kids, you have two. And so we're kind of like the circus wherever we go. And so I definitely, you know, I used to feel like people already judge me because I have all these kids. I need to make sure they're put together. So at least I
right.
look like a competent human being.
At least they're cute accessories to my life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. So people will know that I'm a good mother and they won't judge me based on the number of children. They'll just think I'm like super awesome because, oh, you have a lot of kids, but they're
yep.
put together.
I think we all you know? Feel that way. Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, like I said, there's so much that goes into a child that we don't have control over. And I used to worry about that. And I used to, like, let that affect me too much.
Yeah.
I just feel like mothering is my journey. And I've stopped pushing that on my children. I have, you know, I think I've come to a place now, and I know that, you know, as it's a verb and it's the journey that I've chosen to embark on in my life, that it's going to change, and it is going to, you know, just the very nature of motherhood, I'm working with other people.
Right.
So I can't, I don't know what's going to happen next. Definitely, like you said, picking your battles with your kids, but also picking my battles within my own expectations of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Am I, you know, along with those expectations on my kids?
And don't you give so many other mothers so much more grace than you give yourself? Like if somebody, if another mom is dealing with a tantruming child in the store, you're not necessarily jumping to criticize that mom. You're feeling for that mom. You've been that mom. But yet, if you're that mom, you're thinking, like, I'm a terrible mom. I don't have my act together. My kids are a reflection of me. And you just are so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't be that hard. Most people, most good people, wouldn't be that hard on other moms in the same situation.
Definitely. And I am so far from perfect. But I think my eyes were definitely opened that way, where I'm able to see, you know, I see mothering as my journey and as everyone else's journey. And so
yeah.
I'm just like, you know what? Good for you for being at the grocery store with your kids. Mothering has become the ultimate verb in my life.
Yeah.
It's who I am. It's what I am.
What you do.
It's what I do, and it's the journey I'm on, and it's a progressive one.
Yeah.
And each day is going to look different.
Yeah.
But it's filled with beautiful moments, and I'm so grateful to be able to be a part of those moments.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because it means I'm here and I'm on my journey.
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that really supported you during this time of difficulty for your family. What are like two or three things that you can just point out that if you know somebody going through something like having a baby in the hospital or a loss or, you know, anything where somebody's really struggling, what are two or three things that somebody did for you that were just really helpful and, or a boost to you?
Oh, to that person, I would say reach out.
Yes.
Don't keep it to yourself, because there is such strength in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had so much love and support, and I learned so much about the power of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the power of love to lift people. You know, we had people bringing meals. We had people just even texting us.
Yeah.
A text that simply said, we're praying for you today.
Yeah.
Or I had a friend who every day she would send me, you know, those like inspirational quotes on Pinterest that have like a really calming picture.
Yeah,
in the background,
yeah.
Or even like the funny ones. She would send me one every day.
Oh, I love that.
And so I came to look forward to that, you know, because I was isolated in the hospital. But also it was so good to know that people were thinking of us.
Yeah.
And I found immeasurable strength in that. It was surprising to me how much comfort I took in that text that said, I'm thinking of you, or I'm praying for you, or that cute little quote, you know, about sunshine from a mom.
And so many people would probably not do something like that because they would think, oh, that's not going to make a difference, or that's not enough, or I don't know what to say. And so they do nothing. And that's
absolutely
the worst thing you can do.
I'm that person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm absolutely that
We've
person.
We've all been that
used to
person.
Be like, oh, I don't know what to do. And because I can't, you know, go clean her house, or because I can't take all her children for her today, I just probably shouldn't even bother her.
Right.
Because she's got a lot going on, and I don't want to be one extra person. But, I mean, literally, there was a text that came in the day of Henry's surgery, and all it said was, we are praying for you. And I just fell down, and I cried, because I knew we were being loved, and we were at that point where there was nothing else that we could do except pray and hope.
Right.
And so to know that other people were joining their faith and their hope with us was incredible. And I felt like every form of support, whether it was a text or a card, or a meal or a smile or an arm around the shoulder or a hug, it was like someone else was with me in my army supporting me.
Right.
You know, they were the hands that were holding me up, and every little gesture was an added measure of strength that was holding me up.
That's awesome.
You know, it was...
What a neat thing to be the recipient of at some point in your life.
There's so much power in love, and love can be showed so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter how it's shown, it is powerful.
Just show
and
it.
I am absolutely like a standing witness to that, that like, you know, we survived that, you know, so we survived that, the situation with Henry. And so much of that survival was because other people's love carrying us through. When we didn't have the strength to stand on our own, we didn't need to.
Yeah.
Because we had other people's love and strength to stand on.
That's beautiful. So Henry just had his 1 year birthday. Yes. And so how's he doing?
Today he is thriving.
Yeah.
He is doing so great. He's just a beautiful boy. He is such a light with a, you know, just a fun personality. He does have developmental delays, and it's different for us than, you know, our other children who, you know, crawl at different times or talk at different times. You know, because with Henry, and I guess, you know, with every child, you never know, but we know that he went through the surgery that could have potentially caused brain damage.
Yeah.
And because it was when he was really young and we didn't know his abilities or what they were going to be, his developmental delays bring with them a question mark of, is this just a delay or is this something permanent?
Right.
So we're starting therapies with him. We're going to be doing physical therapy and speech therapy and occupational therapy to try and, you know, build up his muscle tone, help him, you know, eventually learn to talk, help him eventually learn to walk. He's doing a lot of things on his own. You know, he started crawling a few weeks ago, which was amazing. Aww. I was just sobbing because that's one of those things where you hope he's going to, but we didn't know if he would.
Right.
You know, it's been interesting that to classify it as like, is this a delay or is this just something that he won't do?
Yeah.
And we'll have to figure that out later.
Right.
But like I said, right now, today, he is doing great.
He's continuing to progress
progressing. He's probably a good 3 or 4 months behind developmentally. But he appears to be reaching milestones.
Yeah.
Just like a 3 or 4 month lag.
Right.
So right now we're really encouraged by that. And we're just hopeful that he continues to hit those milestones.
Henry, that's amazing. Yeah. Well, we just obviously all wish the best for him and his progress and just want to see him hit every milestone that he is meant to hit and help you all along the way to just boost him up and encourage him. Oh, you're such a great mom, Emily, and just your perspective is so inspiring. Let's talk a minute about you as a person. Are you a reader? Do you watch shows? What is your thing that you do for Emily?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, you like to sew. You sew your girls' stuff.
I like to sew. I love to create. I love to be creative. I'm learning right now that my creativity is going to have to look different because I don't have as much time to sew or DIY.
Yeah.
We just moved this summer to a new place, and so right now my creativity looks like unpacking boxes and trying to create a home.
Yeah.
So
that's a fine place
I'm
to be.
I'm having to try and find moments to be creative in like the everyday.
Yeah.
Because that is something that I love. That's a real outlet for me. I am not as much a reader as I would like to be, but you wouldn't know it because I buy books like I'm a reader.
Well, I think Costco is like the downfall of my life because like, oh, it's less than $10.
I need that.
I heard about that book. I'm going to buy it. And then they just like stack up on your nightstand. You're like, so literally I did a return to Costco like 2 weeks ago where I returned about 7 books that totaled about $70 that I didn't have to spend in the first place. And the, you know, the checker's probably just like, this girl, like, you thought, and I have my 3 kids in the car, and she's like, you thought you had time, but you don't have time.
That is awesome. I know. I have, like, all these, I'm a sucker for parenting books.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, will that help me well, that helped me figure out, like, the mystery of a five-year-old.
Right,
like,
right.
Figure out how to help my soon-to-be eight-year-old, and so...
Well, I have an answer to your conundrum. So on the podcast, we're going to have a monthly or bi-monthly book club episode where we feature a mom book, parenting book, self-help, fun, whatever fun book might be appealing to a mom. And we're going to cover that in the episode and kind of like give a summary and talk about it. So hopefully by the end of the episode, you'll kind of feel like you read the book even though you don't have time to read the book.
Boom. I love that.
So,
because my husband, Brian, he'll ask me, he's like, you know, do you have any ideas about this? Because I studied child development.
Yeah, right.
You know, I taught young children, and so you'd think I would, like,
have a clue. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you know, I knew at one point. But he'll ask me, like, oh, I read a review about a book on that. And so I'll, like, hop on Amazon Prime, and in 2 days, it's there.
Right.
That's my other thing right now.
Yeah.
I love Amazon Prime.
Yes.
So, yeah, I have all these great parenting books that I've heard great things about. And I'm like, don't worry. We got this. I got the book.
I got the book. And if you really needed, you know, some kind of guidance, you can go to the table of contents and read that little snippet and then implement, right? Yeah.
I know. I'm trying.
Story of my life.
Progress, that's for sure.
Story of my life. Absolutely.
My journey.
I love it.
Someday I'll figure out how to read again.
Yep.
So.
No, it's a season. We'll all read again.
It is a season, right? I'm teaching my kids to read. Maybe they'll read the books to me.
Yeah.
There you go, right?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Emily, you're just so awesome. For our final question, what would you tell your pre-motherhood self? I mean, we've already talked about a lot about what you've learned in this season of your life, but going back to before you ever had kids, what would you tell yourself that might be helpful based upon what you know now?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind, I would tell myself to stay true to yourself, which sounds silly, but I think... it's so easy to lose ourselves in this role of motherhood and this journey of motherhood, to lose, you know, to let those hobbies go, to, you know, and it's a good thing to throw yourself into this. It's a beautiful, you know, opportunity to love and care for other people. But I think that there is a fine line between sacrificing for your children, which all mothers do, and I think is a huge part of motherhood, and sacrificing yourself. I think, you know, and like we just talked about, you know, the time. Time is just the constant, isn't that a constant battle to try and find the time for yourself? But I think it can be really easy. I found, you know, a struggle for myself was remembering just carefree, happy, you know, easygoing Emily before I had kids. You know, I feel like I went through a time where I kind of lost that person and was trying to, like, create a brand new me in this role of motherhood instead of bringing old me to the game.
Oh,
it's like,
I love that.
You know, I was trying to, like, take off my old uniform to, like, find a new uniform instead of just, like, adding...
Yeah.
Motherhood to myself.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, I am now a mother, but I'm also this, this, and this, and I've always been that.
Right.
And it was when I was able to figure out what was missing, that like I was, like the old me was missing from my game, that I was able to bring old Emily back in, and I feel like motherhood really came alive for me then.
I love that. That is so great. And I think when we remember to bring ourselves to the game, that applies to motherhood, it applies to our marriage, it applies to our friendships.
Yeah. And what
the world still needs you. The world still needs you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I would say, what a disservice we're doing to our children or our spouses or our coworkers if we're trying to be what we think they need instead of being ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think in being ourselves, we are giving a gift to them because there's no one else like you.
Yeah.
Right? There's only one me. There's only one you. So let's share who we are with one another and let's strengthen each other with our strengths. Like, I'm going to bring some strengths and weaknesses to the game for sure. And you are going to bring strengths and weaknesses to the game as well. And they're different from each other. So let's complement one another and help build each other up. And let's help move each other forward with our individual strengths. Because your strengths can fill my weaknesses. And hopefully I'll be able to do the same for you.
Yep, what a great lesson we can teach our kids in that. Oh, Emily, thank you so much for sharing your story and for sharing Henry with us and just the wisdom that you've gained along the road. I can't wait to see where life takes your family. You're just incredible. I think you're an extraordinary mom. I really do.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
Oh, it's been
fun.
Thank
you, thank you.
All right, have a good day.
You as well.
Isn't Emily just amazing? I just felt so inspired when we got off the call, and I hope you felt that same light and passion from her. Clearly, she just is embracing her role of motherhood and just doing the best she can with what she's been dealt. And we just hope the very best for Henry and his continued progress and development. And I just hope that wherever you're at today, that you will find hope in whatever situation you're in. And you may not know what's around that next curve of life, but just enjoying the present moment, that can take you far. Thanks again for joining us on the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I hope you'll join us again next week for a brand new episode. Have a great day.